Hello, I am Sarah.
And I'm Pam, and together we are
Rusticas in Design. We are friends, fangirls, and fellow designers.
We have conversations about design and how it affects our everyday life.
And we want to let you peek into our world.
So let's get to it.
And today, we're changing it up. Our last episode was like a really funny one, part of our fun design series. But today we're actually bringing it to something that is actually quite serious. We're going to start talking, starting today and with the next few episodes, we're going to be talking more about mindset. And today we want to dive in into what imposter syndrome is about. And I think we both are very familiar with imposter syndrome. Now we are, but like it was something that we didn't even know existed until we started pursuing having our own business.
Mm-hmm. So do you want to talk about, well, actually, first I wanted to ask you, do you remember when you first learned about imposter syndrome? And then because you actually went to school for design, do you recognize the time when you had imposter syndrome even then, or did it happen when you started putting your work out there?
Well, I honestly don't remember exactly when I learned that imposter syndrome existed, but I'm sure like it was sometime like not too long after I started running my business. So probably sometime early 2017. I'm glad that, let's see. Back in the day, Instagram pods were very popular. You would have like a group of people where you, every time you posted on Instagram, you would post, you would go to the group and post your image there, and everybody in the pod would go and like it and comment on it to help other people boost engagement. And back then I didn't even have like a business account. Back then it was just it's like a lifestyle blogging account I had on Instagram. But one of the people in my pod, she was already a business owner. She was a VA, and she talks a lot about self-care and mindset issues. And so I think she's the first person that I learned about imposter mindset from. But like, I don't remember the specific moment. I just know I learned a lot of business mindset things from her, because she was just like a little ahead to where I was, and she was very open talking about all the struggles she's had and things like that. And so she was a good help. But yeah, actually the first imposter syndrome I felt was in college. I'm trying to think if I felt it before, but like that I can remember for sure, where I was feeling like, man, what am I doing? I don't even belong here, in college. And especially here, like in college, when I came to Utah to study here, I didn't have it when I was studying in Mexico. But here I felt very much out of place. The university that I attended has two design programs. They have like the Bachelor of Visual Arts with the graphic design emphasis, which is what I was doing. And they have then like a Bachelor of Fine Arts in Graphic Design. That's more fancy, more exclusive. It's harder to get into. And they have more classes. They have one more year required to graduate, and they have more classes that are cooler, like I feel like all the cool classes were for the BFA and not for the BA. And they also had like their private room that they could access only via a code and stuff. And inside they had like all this like equipment, software, tools, anything you could need to work on your project that I was always like struggling to get access to, like, because okay, I had the software on my computer and you could use the computer labs, and which I didn't need to because I had the software on my computer. But they had cameras, they had like big things to like cut products and stuff, and I had no idea about it. And I was already feeling like left out without knowing about that secret room they had. But the thing is, because I was very much into design and I had taken a lot of design classes already in my previous school, there were not a lot of interesting classes options for me to take. So I actually had permission to take this one class that was just for the BFA, but if the professor was okay with it, like other BA students could join. And I did. I thought it would be like an amazing idea because I would like get so much more out of it, which I did. And the professor was amazing. I think he recognized that I was feeling left behind because everybody had like, I always felt like everybody was presenting their projects so much better. Everybody like seemed to like, they work so professionally. And I felt like, wow, like the kind of work they're presenting, like I'm presenting like little mock-ups that I did on Photoshop. And they're like coming here with like, oh yeah, I have a friend who has like this glass thing company and he let me do this print on here. And I'm like, what? Wow. And they were all getting ready for their internships. And so the university arranges internships, helps them get in touch with companies in New York. So all of them go on to spend a summer in New York doing an internship at a design agency. And so that's all they were talking about. And I'm just like,
No,
I'm just a BA student. I'm not doing the internship. I'm doing an internship right now here at the university we work on. But I felt like awful. And so one of the things that I got there was like my aversion towards branding. I always felt like I wasn't good at branding because my projects were not as presented as nicely as them. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like there's no way I can compete with that. There's students just like me. Most of them were actually younger than me because they started college before I did. I started college a bit later. And so I felt like very left behind. One day I was waiting for class to start. And then one of the students like, why are you waiting out there by yourself? Come here. And I'm like, and that's when I learned that they had the BFA room. And I was like, what is this place? They have so many resources to make everything amazing. Like, what? And so and there was always like this thing of like, I don't belong here. Like, if I'm not doing the BFA, I'm not serious enough. Luckily, the professor, I think he realized that. He could sense that I was feeling like that. Because he always graded me, like not comparing me to the rest, but just like by my own improvements and then what I was showing. And so I actually ended up having a pretty good grade in that class, even though I wasn't feeling like I deserved it because I wasn't presenting as good of a work. And then after the class, I just continued feeling like this, like, what am I, like, can I call myself a designer even if I can present the same kind of quality that they do? And I graduated shortly after. And I started my business shortly after that. So I started my business within like 6 months of graduating.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first started it, I actually called myself a tech VA because I didn't feel like I was good enough to call myself a designer. And I figured if I say I'm a designer, people are going to expect me to create branding. And I wasn't confident in my branding at all. I'm like, I know how to do websites. That's what I've always been doing. So that's what I'm going to do. And I call myself a tech VA because I could connect the websites to like email marketing or whatever like people wanted to connect it to. And it took me a while. Like it wasn't until I did my mentorship about a year after I graduated that they started seeing like, I did the mentorship as a web designer / tech VA, and we had another graphic designer on the team. And so most of the graphic work was given to her, but then our mentor, she's like, wait, I saw some of your graphics, like you actually do really good graphics. So you wanna have one of these graphics projects for your portfolio? And I'm like, well, that is something that I actually would like to do. It wasn't branding, it was just creating graphics. And I'm like, I'm pretty good at Photoshop and stuff. And so I started doing it that way and they started motivating me more at getting better at graphics. And then from there, it started going up and up a bit more until 2018. I think that's when I'm like, you know what? I actually do like branding and I think I'm gonna try it out. And then it started going better and better from them. But like imposter syndrome never goes away. But like once you learn about it and you understand it, then you can at least be like, I know that what I'm having right now is imposter syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can push through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's my whole story with imposter syndrome.
It's a good one.
Now asking the question back at you.
So Well, first I want to say that when I learned that imposter syndrome never goes away, and this is when I started listening and following like bigger lettering artists, mostly, of course, because it's inspiring. And I started seeing that they talked about imposter syndrome, and I was like, what? Like, you can't have that. You're so good, you know? And then I understood that this happens to everybody, and that it can happen actually in any area. And I can recall it happening to me when I was going to school for physics, or when I was going to school for, or even when I was in high school in my art projects and stuff like that. Because, you know, I took a little graphic design class there, and well, I actually did pretty well. But the times when I didn't, I did feel like I didn't belong. And when I was going to school for physics or meteorology, I remember that when I wasn't, when I didn't understand the material or the math problems or calculus as good as other people, as well as other people, or when I didn't get good grades easily, I felt like it did not belong. Like, you know, if I'm not that smart, maybe I shouldn't be here. And even though I ended up going for another career path, I don't feel like that is true. You know, I don't feel like just because something is hard for you, you don't belong there. And in design or art, it happened as soon as I started my business. In 2018, I came to Utah with my sister. Well, I came to the States and went to Utah with my sister because she was getting married. And so she was going to find a wedding dress. And I remember I went to visit you. And my aunt, she gave me this idea that I should start selling stationery with my calligraphy, which I had just started practicing that same year. And I had never wanted to start a business because I knew it would be like overwhelming and so much work, and then the competition, and you know, it's really emotional. So I thought I would never do it. Like, I would never want that. But when she mentioned that, I just had this feeling like I want to do that. And so that same year, I went to my first Christmas market, and I didn't really know. I had just gotten started. So everything was handmade. My designs were, I guess they were okay. I still like some of them, but looking back, they didn't look as professional, and sitting there in you know, in the midst of all this entrepreneurs and people who sold all sorts of things, some of them were handmade, some weren't. I felt entirely out of place. And I said, I don't even know what I'm doing, you know. And then from there on, especially when it comes to my skill, I sometimes feel imposter syndrome when I compare my skills, especially like technological skills, to other designers that have done education, because I'm still learning, and sometimes I am just slower than everybody else, and I'm self-taught. So that is an aspect, but the other one is my work, because it's still in progress. I have a really hard time with social media. Social media definitely makes it a lot worse for me because I follow a lot of artists. There are so many amazing artists out there. And even people who are not like so much more talented than me, I sometimes feel out of place, you know, even compared to like any other artist. It doesn't have to be someone like super good. Just people who are braver than me, more consistent in sharing work in social media, that makes me feel like I don't belong because I'm not doing the same thing. So I think I know I've made progress, but I still feel in the creative area imposter syndrome that can paralyze me. And again, especially when it comes to social media, I'm working on this, of course, but I've realized that I need to set my own boundaries because it's never going to go away. And I can't let it stop me from sharing the work I want to share just because I feel it might not be good enough. But I think that's when it started, and it's been consistent on and off for a while. I do recognize, however, that the thoughts that come to me are not necessarily true. It doesn't mean that I don't belong here. And luckily, I have kept myself from quitting, which I've been about to do like a couple of times, because I understand that it's something that everybody feels, and that you gain nothing from comparing your work to other people. So I think that's my little story.
Yeah, there's a couple of takeaways, I feel like, just from sharing our stories.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one is the importance of a support system.
Mm-hmm.
And a support system that's healthy, like that's like made up of people that don't try to pretend that everything's perfect, but that mm-hmm. are actually like that show you what they're going through too, because really we're going through it together. And then the second one is just like the importance of role models, again, that don't pretend that everything's perfect. I know what you mean about like listening to, like, there's like a couple of podcasts that I think we both listen to where they talk mm-hmm. about mindset issues fairly often, and you're like, wait, they're like the most amazing, like they're like the first person that I think of when I think of muralist or illustrator. So how do they struggle with imposter syndrome, with like they're the last person who would be an imposter, they're like the person for me. And so I feel like we all benefit from sharing our stories. Mm-hmm. We can help others, and also by sharing it, we're acknowledging that it really is just a mindset problem, that it's manageable, that it's not true, and that it's actually a normal part of running a business, and even of not running a business. Like I feel like mindset syndrome comes up in a lot of other situations, but people don't talk mm-hmm. about it there as much.
Mm-hmm.
Like when my husband started his new job back at the end of 2019, he got this job with like a huge company, like one of the biggest companies in the world. I think they have like thousands of people throughout the world, doing this job that he had always dreamt of, working with other big companies. And he was very excited, but once he started, he's like he would often think like, what am I even doing here? Like, what, how, like mm-hmm. they're gonna find out any minute now that I'm not qualified for this, and things mm-hmm. like that. And I feel like it's not addressed as much unless you are more involved in like some entrepreneur creative sphere. Because I have never heard about it before. It's not something that they ever tell you in college, but I feel like it's one of the most important things they should tell you, because you're gonna experience it no matter where. Because I remember talking to him about it, and I'm like, that's imposter syndrome. He's like, what? What is that? And ever since, I've had that conversation with some other people who are like, you know what? I experienced that too when I started this job. Like, I felt like any minute now they're gonna find out that I'm not qualified for it. But no one tells you. That's just a negative mindset that's living rent-free in your mind.
Rent-free, oh my gosh.
So, yeah, support systems all the way. I feel like that's the best solution. And then, and if it's very intense, therapy can help as well, because it uh-huh. is a problem that's just reflecting our self-confidence.
Mm-hmm.
So if it really is like bad enough, or like even acknowledging it doesn't do the job of like helping you, then therapy can help you a lot too. But yeah, it sucks.
One thing I actively do, which I haven't done in a while, which I actually haven't done any lettering work, in maybe a month, is I've talked about this before. I journal about it. And you know what? I have caught myself trying to talk people out of it too. You know, because I feel like I believed my negative thoughts all my life. Like, I have always, you know, there are so many thoughts that you, in just ideas and stereotypes and just images that tell you what's wrong with you ever since you can understand them, right? But this is the one that I feel like I have, like, I help people fight when they feel like they can't do something. when they have like a business idea, but then they're like, oh, but it's not gonna work, or somebody said it's not good, or you know, there are so many people doing it. I feel very strongly about that, and I try to convince people not to let. I mean, you don't have to go and do every idea that comes to your mind, but I with a lot of passion, I try to convince others around me not to give in to those ideas. If you're not gonna try, don't let it be imposter syndrome stopping you. And I think it's because I have been able to, and I still feel it a lot, but now that we're talking about this, I can recognize how much progress I've made just by still being here. I know it sounds dramatic, but it's true. I recognize the moments when I'm like, oh, this is trash, like this is not worth it, like it's embarrassing, I don't want people to see it. And then just because I've had periods in my life where I hate whatever I do, people love it and I think it's horrible. And that's when I thought, oh, there's something wrong with me. It can't be that everything I do is that bad. I have looked at the work that I used to dislike so much and I feel differently about it. And so I recognize that I have made progress. And so I try to encourage others when I hear they're facing it, not to give in to it, because I don't know, I think it can stop you from so many things that you can accomplish, not only like business or art or design, but just a lot of things. I think we should never let others tell us what we can or can't do, but that includes ourselves, who sometimes listen to ourselves too much.
And that also reminds me that like, as we evolve and we become more confident in our skills, imposter syndrome comes and shows up in another way. Okay, I am a designer. I can do this. I actually enjoy branding. I'm going to start offering this. Then imposter syndrome comes in another way. It's like, okay, yeah, maybe you can design, but you know what? You shouldn't charge this much because you're not really that good. Mm-hmm. Or they come and are like, okay, maybe your design is okay, but like, why do you have a mastermind? What can you really teach people? Like, it's always going to show up in one way or another. Mm-hmm. It's crazy how our mind plays us such bad tricks. But it is true. But yeah, like, and acknowledging it doesn't like make it go away. Because at this point, it's like, I know it's imposter syndrome, but I still like, don't feel like I can do this, or I don't know, like, why am I even trying? And so another good thing that I was thinking of when you were talking is also surrounding yourself with people that not only express when they have imposter syndrome, but also support you in what you do, mm-hmm. and tell you how good you are. Because mm-hmm. sometimes we see our own work and we're like, I guess it's okay. It's decent enough. But other people will be like, no, you know what? That's really good. And wow, the way you do this, haven't seen anyone that does something like that that's similar, or like when we hear it coming from other people, our mind accepts it more than us saying like, oh, Sarah, that was a pretty good job. It's like, I don't know, I think it was okay. But then someone comes in and say, wow, Sarah, that was really good. You're really good at this. I'm like, oh, okay, maybe I'm not doing that bad. And that's something that boosts our confidence. And when our confidence is doing better, imposter syndrome cannot affect us as mm-hmm. hard.
Yeah, I also want to say that this is very important. I remember that like the whole support system or surrounding yourself with people. I mean, it can be your mom. I mean, my mom makes me feel good about myself. But sometimes I underestimate what the people around me can do. You know what I mean? Like, I sometimes feel like I depend on people telling me how good it is to believe it, but that's never enough. So I discovered that, yes, people like your support system can boost your confidence and help you see something that you're not seeing. But I find myself sometimes fighting even that, like, oh no, they're wrong. You know, it's not even that good. It's because, you know, they like me or whatever. But the whole thing helps a lot. I even had a hard time. Well, because we've talked about this in, I told you about my idea for my business, remember? And you're like, oh, you should do it, and you already have your business. And then you've always been part of the support system. And then, but even when you had the idea for the name of the podcast, I was like, oh, am I good enough to be like in a podcast about design? You know, because I don't have like huge experience. And I had to face it. And sometimes I even feel, just because it's imposter syndrome, but it, this podcast helped me kind of own it a little bit, you know, because I, we have talked about this, of course, but I do design, so I can be here. So yeah, I think it is important. And I find that sometimes what people say does help me not only feel better, but like you said, look at my work differently, and then appreciate it and learn from it. Because what we create does have value. It doesn't have to look a certain way, you know, to be good or to have a certain value.
And I feel like there's a balance between people that go on social media posting something like, oh, I did this, but it isn't that good, just for people to be like, oh no, it's really good. Like, that's like a bit like too far off, like when you're just like fishing for compliments kind of a thing. Like, it's not the same thing. That's not what I mean. But more of like, okay, I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna post it, and I'll see what people say. And that's one thing actually that I think, I don't know if it's a highly sensitive person within us, or if it's the INFJ, or if it's all together, but I've always been terrified of feedback. Like, you obviously, like as a designer, you have to ask for feedback when you're doing something for a client. But even since I was in school, I hated feedback. And in design school, when you do homework, it's usually for the whole class to see, not just for the professor to see. It's like, okay, Sarah, put it up on the screen. Everybody, what do you want to say about Sarah's work? And that was always like the worst thing for me. And I'm like, how am I going to be a designer if I cannot take feedback? Because even if I know like they mean it in a good way, it's going to be good, I feel like, oh my gosh, I did such an awful job. I'm the worst. So I feel that social media is like an extension of this. It's us putting our work out there for people to see when we actually don't want to know what they're going to say, because we feel like they're going to tell us that we're not good enough. They're going to tell us that we should have done something differently. And there might be people who do that. But the thing is, I feel like overcoming that thing every time and being vulnerable and putting our work out there, most of the times what we get is actually validation and support. And most of the times there won't be someone being like, oh, but you know, you should have done this and this instead. Mm-hmm. Like, they might exist, but like they are not the most common person. Instead, we're gonna get person being like, wow, how did you do that? Or, oh, that is just beautiful. Like, and or they'll share it, which is, I feel like, one of the biggest compliments someone can do is like sharing my work.
Uh-huh.
So like I feel like for us, I think it's a highly sensitive trait, probably both. It overlaps with the INFJs and highly sensitivity. Mm-hmm. But like, it's hard for us to be vulnerable and like put our work out there. But every time we do it, we're like overcoming, like it's like a little step forward. And that's something that's going to help our confidence, and it's going to help us build our character and be better designers.
Yeah, I mean, there is, sometimes I want to give up still, but there is so much growth to be done in this area that I just feel like it's the only thing that is worth my time. I think it's an overlap of the high sensitivity in the INFJ, because I remember reading about INFJs receiving feedback. And I used to think that I was really good at it until I started doing like art for business, because it really, it hurts. And even when people are trying to be nice, I feel like, oh, that was like horrible. I should just not share it and throw it away. And it's like this big deal, you know? And I think it's funny because I have a hard time. And sometimes people tell me, they'll give me feedback about something, which is well-intentioned. And in my head, I'm like, nope, yeah, they're wrong. I don't think, yep, I'm not changing it. Yeah. And then after a while, I'm like, well, maybe sometimes I don't really do like it better the way I made it. But I have learned to understand that it's not against me, which is really hard when it's your work you're putting out there. I'm sure that you can relate, but whenever I post something or try to sell a product, back in Costa Rica, I sell a lot of handmade products with lettering and symbol art and stuff like that. And it's like putting a little bit of myself out there. So when people either don't like it or don't show interest in it, I feel like it's a reflection of what they think about me. It's so weird, but it can't be because they don't know me. And then not everybody has to like your art in their circumstances. And then it's social media, you know what I mean? Like it's hard, really hard to overcome that. Especially when you're doing business in a creative area. It's really, really hard. And I've been trying to post a video of a time-lapse I did 2 weeks ago. I don't remember. 2 weeks ago. Just because, you know, it's lettering, it's calligraphy, it's a time-lapse, which I love. But I'm just dreading it. What if it doesn't receive, I don't know, this many likes? What if people don't like it? I'm going to feel bad about it. And so I have a few things that I've been meaning to post, but I just don't even get the energy to do it. And I think it's that, you know, that it's part of you. And sometimes if people don't respond to it, you feel that they're not responding to you. And it's really hard not to take it that personally, but it really is not. It's just the way social media is, you know.
Yeah, it just reminds me of all the times that, like, you post something and you think like, you know, this is it. I'm actually confident on this thing that I'm posting. I'm so excited to post it. And then like, no one really cares for it. And it's like, oh, all my life I thought was gonna come to this point. And now like everybody's just ignoring it. But that's when it's good to remember that the only people that social media caters to is to themselves. They're going to be sharing based on what's going to make them more money instead of like, what's going to help this person, this little business come on forward, you know? And I feel like reminding us all the time about that, like, first of all, it says nothing about our work. Mm-hmm. And second of all, it says nothing about what other people think of our work either. Because a lot of them actually don't even get to see it because social media is just not showing them things. Mm-hmm. So let us not be defined by what social media tells us. Let us not be defined by negative mindsets in our head. Mm-hmm. Get yourself a support system that tells you things as they are. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest takeaway.
And also just don't believe everything you think.
Oh yeah.
don't. I mean, your mind can't be trusted half the time. Like you have to be aware of that. And the support system is important. I know people that I go to mainly for support, but I also have people that I go to specifically for feedback. Some of them do both, but it's important to know who to go to when you need advice, support, or feedback. Or all of them, because that way somebody can give you a clearer view, not just your biased opinion of your work, and you might not be going through Good.
And when none of that is working, journaling is really good because it helps you figure out why you're thinking something. And so you can trace it back to, like, is it an imposter syndrome or is it an actual concern that I need to address?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to share about imposter syndrome?
No. No, not really. Yeah,
you covered it pretty well. Yeah, as I mentioned at the beginning, we're gonna continue talking about a couple of like different mindsets. I feel like this one feels kind of like the hardest one because both of us have experienced it quite a lot and continue experiencing it. But also, because I feel like almost everyone experiences it, and so many people don't even know what it is. So we wanted to start with this, but I think that's it then for today. We're going to move on to our next section, and we're going to talk about recommendations. So, Pam, what are you recommending us today?
Nothing, not much new has happened or I have seen, but in the last couple of weeks, I actually got up on Doctor Who. I hadn't really watched Jodie Whittaker's seasons, maybe a couple of them, but not all of them. So I finally did catch up, and I recommend. I love them. I was a little incredulous. I didn't think it would be good because I watched a couple of them, and then it's really hard for me to forget Peter Capaldi because I think he was really good. She did good, and the episodes are pretty good. And just the companions, it was amazing. So if anybody hasn't seen it and they like Doctor Who, I think they should do it because it's really good.
How many seasons are there with her? Is it two?
Two. Yeah, two. I don't know if the third one with her already started coming out or not. I'm not really up to date. I was at my friend's in New York, and she had them both, and she hadn't seen them either. And then for my birthday on the 2nd, my family actually threw me a Doctor Who themed party, which was amazing. Oh my gosh. Like, it was perfect. The cake and everything, like, the meal was the lasagna that had Cassandra on it. Cassandra, the last human, remember? It was great. It was also yummy. But then I was like, oh, this is embarrassing. You know, I have like this Doctor Who themed party, but I'm not even up to date. And then my friend was, oh, I have them. And I'm like, oh, let's watch them. And that's what we did. And it was amazing. So, yeah.
That is pretty awesome.
Yeah,
I actually am right there as well. I'm like, I watched Capaldi's last season and I haven't watched the transition yet to the new one. So maybe one of these days. I actually kind of want to rewatch Doctor Who from when it was like restarted. We've been kind of wanting to do that, but we know it's going to take time. So it's like, one of these days, we're going to start it. Well, what I want to recommend as well is actually also a TV show, but it's an anime. It's called Fruits Basket. If you know about anime, then you probably have heard about this. Fruits Basket was very big in the early 2000s, both the manga and the anime, even though it wasn't that good. And it was rebooted back in 2019. And so the third season just started 2 weeks ago, and it's absolutely amazing. It's everything you could dream of. And Fruits Basket deals so much with mindset issues and mental health problems that it just makes it so relatable, even though like the story is like fantastic, like, and like doesn't really apply to real life. The situations and what they feel is like so true. So yeah, if you just want to like see other people suffering with issues, mindset issues, Fruits Basket is great. It is my favorite. It was my favorite manga when I was a teenager. And now, as a 30 plus year old person, is my favorite anime now. I just absolutely love it. It's available on Crunchyroll. It's episode goes live in Japan and like a day after it goes up on Crunchyroll. If you don't have a paid membership, you have to wait a week to watch it, which is okay. That's what I'm doing. So I'm like watching only 1 week behind, which as someone who grew up liking anime, 1 week behind is a dream. Because there were so many things that I couldn't watch when I was younger that I would just like hear about on the internet and I had no idea how to watch them because there just wasn't any way to watch it. So 1 week wait, that's heaven. Let's move on to our next section, which is what we are up to. And I'm going to start. Actually, Stargate Studio in the past couple of weeks has announced a ton of changes. We are restructuring things quite a bit. The biggest change being that we're changing our focus from the education side to the one-on-one side. So we're actually not going to be doing as many educational things as we used to. We used to do quarterly challenges and run the mastermind, and we're actually taking a break from that to right now really just work on our one-on-one services. We're revamping them. We are relaunching them with like the new features that's included, and we're pretty excited. So if you're interested in working with us, let me know. You can find us on Instagram at stargaze.studio, where I've been talking lately a lot about these changes. We're talking about how they have been very important, because really all the changes that we're doing are all about managing our energy better and not letting ourselves get burned out as much. So I feel like that's probably part of mindset that we also will probably address at some point. We're trying to really shift our mindset, stop trying to just like do what we feel people want us to do or do things, because otherwise we might disappoint people, and instead focus on keeping our energy so that we can provide better service for others, keeping our mental health in check and helping us have free time as well. Because when you work from home and you're a workaholic like me, it's very easy to like suddenly find yourself working till 1 a.m. every day again. It's something that I have to like be constantly working on, setting those boundaries. And so this time we're like going deep, not only like setting boundaries in like what I'm working on, but really just like restructuring the business in a way where like those boundaries are in place. So it's been a big learning experience, and I'm sharing a lot about the process on social media and on my newsletter. So if you feel like you're burnout from your business as well, you might come and learn a bit from what like we've been doing. And yeah, other than that, we're working a lot on one-on-one projects. So if you are also looking for one-on-one help with your brand or website, just reach out. We're booking right now for the coming months, so we're excited to help. Sam, what have you been up to? And we know there's like a big change related to why we're streaming at a different time today.
April's been an intense month. I'm in Maryland right now. I was in New York visiting a friend, and I came to visit my cousin who just had a baby. And she's so cute. And I am going to be staying here for a little over 2 months. And about my business, I am quieter than usual on social media. I intend to go back to the 100-day challenge because I cannot stand just giving it up again second time. So whatever it takes. But I intend to letter for fun and learning and creativity. And I am going to be working on the Use Your Voice Mastermind. I have a lot of reflect things to do and plans for the future. So it's going to be a time for that. But I do intend to work on my creativity and my imposter syndrome and my social media issues in the meantime, because I think they're all related. But that's it. I think it's just like a quiet time for the business, but not really, because I'm doing a lot of like inner work. And I'm really excited about the mastermind too. So that just started a couple of weeks ago. And yeah, that's it.
So we'll be announcing soon if we're gonna keep doing it at this time for the next couple of months. We're still figuring it out ourselves. Well, I'm just gonna wrap up then. Thanks for joining our conversation today, everyone. We'd love to hear your take on this, so make sure to follow us on Instagram at 2ticasindesign with the number 2 at the beginning, or on Facebook under the same name. See you on social media. Bye.